powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Wazoo takes on Drake in the first round of the NCAA men's tournament tonight, 7 p.m. right here, Seattle Sports. Now you're going to have simultaneous broadcasts. The Mariners are also playing. You can hear them face off against the Reds live at 6:30 p.m. on 770 KTTH. If you have the app, both games will air live in their entirety. Again, right there on the Seattle Sports app. Let's talk about the Cougs. They're leading off Hype Train. We'll head to the station now. First train in, as I said, number 7, Washington State, taking on number 10, Drake, in the first round. I'm keeping it simple. I'm keeping it sweet. The Cougs advance.
This is what we do. We get out the first round. All right. After that, we shall see. But I'm on that train, baby. And I'm sober on that train because I got to work tomorrow.
So I'm so sorry to hear that one. The Cougs beat Drake. Bump is boarding. Curtis, are you?
I will board as well. I think they have the defense to make it a game, to make sure that they win. I think this Coug train rolls on into the second round where they'll probably be awaiting Iowa State. This Cougs team is a lot of fun, and I say that as somebody who has lost to Washington State twice this season. So that's how much respect they've got for me. So, yeah, Cougs march on. Stacey?
Did I take the Cougs to advance in my bracket, in my work bracket? Frankly, that's none of your guys' concern.
Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, I did. Oh, thank God. Okay. I took the Cougs to advance, so I just didn't want to be hypocritical about this one. Yes, I'm saying the Cougs do. I think it's going to be really tough. Drake had a much better finish to the season than Washington State. They are really hot heading into this one. It's going to be tough, but I guess I'm just going with size and making it easy, and the Cougs being, as Tate Frazier told us during two interviews, just a really tough out. He said if they get to the tourney, we talked to him a while ago before this was clear. If they get to the tourney, they're one of those teams like you don't really want to face because they're going to be pretty tough to beat no matter what, even if you are outmatched. So, yeah, I'm taking Washington State. Next type train. I'm going to stick with the tourney and then get to the Hawks. I will read you some of these games if you want them, or you could just answer. The only upset today, only real upset, we had a 9 over an 8, but the only real upset was Duquesne, number 11, over number 6, BYU. Arizona, number 2, running away with it over Long Beach State. Congratulations, Curtis. We are going to see, in this round, a 13 seed or lower upset.
I'm upset because Duquesne spelled their name wrong. Fix that, Duquesne. 13 over 4, that would be Yale over Auburn.
I've got South Dakota State over Iowa State.
Charleston over Alabama. No, it ain't gonna happen, man. Number 4 is gonna be good. They're good to go.
You're not taking Stetson over UConn?
I don't even know who Stetson is. I know
that's
Stetson.
Stetson is Logan Gilbert's alma mater.
Yes.
We like Logan Gilbert.
We do. Are you taking Stetson
Curtis
over
would
UConn?
Know that.
Bump
Curtis
isn't boarding this train.
I do the pre and post game. I got to know stuff like that.
Curtis, 13 seed or lower.
13 seed or lower. 113 that I'm looking at right now is Samford against Kansas. Kansas's best player, Kevin McCullough Jr., out for the tournament.
Are you being brave? Be brave.
I didn't pick Samford in my bracket, but that was before the McCullough news came out. So I'll board this train.
Wow.
I think Samford gets it done tonight. Against the Kansas Jayhawks. That's the game tipping off right before the Coug game.
I do not think it's going to happen. I just really wanted someone to say it would because I love a good upset. I love a Cinderella story. I'm not rooting for Long Beach State. They just had an interesting story, but they're playing your Wildcats, so I couldn't bring myself to do it. And they're out of this thing anyways. I mean, 3:42 to play. Arizona up 82-60. This one's done. This 16 has been knocked out already, so not a lot of options here, but I like your choice. Next up, we heard a theory from Brock Heward that Jamal Adams could return to the Seahawks. He said, look, I'm not saying this will happen. I'm saying, what if? What if there's a world where the Seattle Seahawks, desperately in need of linebackers, maybe looking to up the pass rush, bring Adams back to solely play in the box? So that's your hype train. Jamal Adams comes back to the Hawks.
I think that there would be a lot of upset fans if Jamal Adams did come back. Now, what if he came back on the low? but I also think that there are going to be other teams in the NFL. There's no way 30-plus other teams are looking at Jamal and saying, he's cooked. We're not going to – we can't use him. And especially because they're going to get him at a cheaper rate. So, nah, he's not going to be back here with the Seahawks. I would understand why you could experiment with that, put him in the box like Brock is talking about. But I think it's best for the Hawks and for him. He get a fresh new start in the Hawks. You know, keep – trending the way you are and bringing in some fresh faces.
The hype train is that Jamal Adams will come back to the Hawks. Bump is not boarding. Curtis, are you?
I've so moved on from Jamal Adams. Like, in my mind, I have cleared that portion of my brain to where, like, I don't even consider the possibility of Jamal Adams back in a Seahawks uniform. That being said, I've been wrong time and time again in my life. Why stop now? The Seahawks are in desperate need of linebacking help. They could also use some help in the secondary. I imagine Jamal Adams would be a lot cheaper, but then, like, why go through the hassle of cutting him and taking on that dead cap and then bringing him back? Well, like, the logic doesn't make sense.
You would have paid him that salary. Yeah. So there was still technically a cap savings by moving on from Jamal of, like, I think, like, $6 million. Mm-hmm. Even though you're taking on a massive dead cap, I don't know what the contract would look like to bring him back. If you're paying more than six, you're ultimately paying more for Jamal Adams to keep him here.
I don't see the logic in it, so I'm going to let this train go by.
Yeah, I think story-wise it would be interesting, right? Who doesn't love some juicy drama? But it doesn't make sense to me. Bump, you talked about just the size difference, the different in player profile. Like,
yeah, here's a plus side where it could be, you know, a possibility is that we're seeing linebackers kind of shift from these real bulky, can't really move type of dudes, all muscle, to more versatile type of guys. So I could see Jamal in that role, but he's been a DB safety his whole life. And that's a big transition. You're asked to do different things. Now, doing it every now and then, 20% of the snaps, which kind of like what he's been doing, that's more of a possibility. But every single snap, you get in that linebacker stance and taking on these guards that are getting to the second level and tackles pulling or whatnot, it's just tough. Can he do it? I think he can. But I think there are teams out there who will use his services at safety.
Next story. Well, next hype train. We'll revisit the Pete Rose story. So back in 1989, I would say, as you all remember, but none of us do. Rose, it was found out through an investigation. He bet on at least 50 Reds games 2 years prior. A ton of money involved here. He's since denied that, but obviously received, as we all know, a lifetime ban for betting. The Shohei Ohtani news has made so many MLB fans wonder if Pete Rose's ban remains fair. So, this is your hype train. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, he broke the rules.
Yeah.
He broke the rules. So did all those guys who were juicing back in the 90s. And his numbers are crazy. He bet on his team to win. He was just a manager when he did it. I'm going to say it. Get Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Give it to him.
He broke the rules. You know why? Because as a Dodgers fan, you're mounting your defense of Shohei Ohtani in case more details come out. The hype train is that Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. Bump is boarding. Curtis, are you?
If we put him in the Hall of Fame, there goes one of the great sports talk radio debates of all time.
And I'm going to miss it.
That stands the test of time. You can always throw that debate out there, and we'll get listener reaction time and time again. So do I sacrifice content for maybe righting a wrong in Major League Baseball history?
Nope.
Should he be in the Hall of Fame? Sure. Yeah. I think every one of those guys should be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I'm boarding that train. I think Roger Clemens should be in. I think Barry Bonds should be in. Alex Rodriguez should get in. Manny Ramirez, all those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't tell the story of baseball without these guys.
So that's exactly what I was going to say for my answer. It depends on your definition of what the Hall of Fame should be. If it's like a no cheaters allowed accomplishments list, then that's what you have. If it's a story of baseball, best players ever in any era and how they got there and what their story was, then yeah, he should be. And in his defense, yes, he bet on his own team, but also there wasn't the betting didn't, clearly it came later. He was in his 40s, and it also didn't affect him as an actual player. Like, this wasn't something that made him better. unnaturally at his job the way PEDs did for many players. And I think those players should be in. I think Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, he broke the rules, but I don't know that the Hall of Fame is pure as it stands. So let him in. Next hype train. We got, we'll do about two more here. Maybe throw one other one in here. Both are basketball. March Madness underway right now. It's the NCAA men's tourney. We are watching Arizona number two kind of run away with this one over Long Beach State. Cougs playing later tonight. They are the last game on the schedule. Number seven taking on number 10 Drake. A lot of amazing games over the next couple weeks here. March Madness is the best sporting event on the calendar.
Turn on Michael and Stace. Here's the deal with March Madness. You get the most content right in March Madness. You got a bunch of teams going at it. You get some upsets. There are going to be buzzer beaters. It's nuts, but it's not the best sporting event on the calendar. Every 4 years, there's something called the World Cup that the world plays in. And I know you Americans don't like your soccer, so you're going to be on my head. But I'm telling you, it's the world's game. Every country plays the game. And, no, it's not. I think it's number two, but I think World Cup's number one.
All right. March Madness is the best sporting event on the calendar. Bump says it's the World Cup. He is not boarding this one. Curtis, are you?
The World Cup's only every 4 years.
Still
March Madness
calendar.
Is every year, yeah.
I'm allowing it.
Best sporting event on the calendar. It's great the first weekend of the tournament, but then after that, all the Cinderellas kind of get weeded out, and it loses a little bit of steam in the middle part of the tournament. Picks back up in the Final Four. Best sporting event on the calendar. I think I'm going to let this train go on by. I love March Madness. As you can tell, I'm decked out in Arizona gear today. But the best one, I mean, is it? It's got to be like the Super Bowl, right?
I'm boring. My answer is Super Bowl.
Yeah, because no one I know throws parties for March Madness. Everybody throws a party for the Super Bowl.
March Madness is fun because there are games that you tune into at work, and it feels like a mini vacation, or just things you have on in the background. Cinderella stories are awesome. Buzzer beaters are fun. I went Super Bowl. It's one of my favorite things in the year already.
Simple Americans.
I'm just saying it's the most watched program in the country every single year.
All you care about is what happens in your own country.
It is basically Thanksgiving with different food and one game instead of three. And Bump, you love Thanksgiving.
I love Thanksgiving. When I win the Masters this year, we'll be serving Thanksgiving food next year.
Well, Super Bowl is the most popular answer on the Mac and Jack text line, but Christian the 206 says, I'll take the NBA Finals. And I saw someone else seconded World Cup. All right, next and last hype train. It's a Coug theme day. We're talking Cougs now, and in about 20 minutes, Klay Thompson is the greatest Coug ever. We got to talk about all-time greats.
Well, we got some good ones, man. We got Klay. We got Morgan Weaver, soccer player.
Oh,
she's
yeah?
nice. Got Jason Gesser. Got my boy Jeshua Anderson, who won
Drew Bledsoe.
The 400-meter hurdles like 4 years in a
choices.
Row in college. You know what's messed up is that I'm looking at a list, and they got Gabe Marks on that list because he broke my record. But if I was in that offense, all right, I'd have more catches than Gabe, so I'm a little bitter. But it is Klay Thompson. He's got four championships, drafted 11 overall, easy. I think number two would be Jeshua Anderson. He dominated track and field when he was at WSU, and he played football.
Klay Thompson is the greatest Coug ever. A Coug himself, Michael Bumpus, has to agree. He's boarding the train. Curtis, are you?
Four rings, one half of the greatest backcourts in NBA history, maybe the greatest backcourt in NBA history. Yeah, I'm putting Klay Thompson up there, number one greatest Coug athlete ever.
Now, I don't have as extensive background knowledge of all great Cougs the way that Bump does, so I'm going to lean on him for this one. I'm going to go with the Coug that I know the most about, which is Klay Thompson, and maybe that answers it for us. So we all said Klay Thompson is the greatest Coug ever. We're going to ask our next guest who he thinks is the greatest Coug ever. Klay Thompson joining us at 1:30. We're hoping he can. We're gonna try to snag him.
Warriors sounding good.
Yeah, sounding
good. Warriors canceled practice today, so everybody's kind of left to their own devices.
Yeah, sounds like he's willing to make some time to talk Cougs. Of course, once a Coug, always a Coug, right? He joins us at 1:30 again. Klay Thompson joining us at 1:30 to talk about the Cougs dancing later tonight. Tip off at 7:05. All right, you guys, let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, why don't you like the expanded crackback rule proposal, but you also understand why it may be implemented?
I don't like it because it takes a small guys out the game in a certain aspect of it. So what the rule is now is that if a guy's in the backfield, he's in motion, he cannot engage with a defender when he's blocking him below the knees. Typically, if I'm on the right side of the formation, I motion to the left, I'm taking care of the backside edge. I'm going to cut him. I'm going to hit him in his thighs. I'm going to chop him down at the knees. He's going to outweigh me by like 50, 60 pounds. And it just makes that block easier for me. Now, I understand why they're trying to get rid of it, because it's tough on the defender. No one likes getting chopped at the knees. I understand all of that. And honestly, they've made so many rules that help out the offense over the years. It's about time that the defense gets some love. So even though it would change the way that I would have to play if I were still in the game, I understand it, man. They're trying to make the game safe. No one likes getting hit in the knees. It is what it is.
Second down. Competition committee with some big decisions to make here pretty soon. But what would be one of the worst decisions they could make?
It would be to get rid of the kickoff. There's actually some coaches advocating to get rid of the kickoff. I've argued this point maybe three or four times on the show over the past couple of years. And the reason why I love the kickoff is because it can change momentum of the game and it shifts field position. I went back and I looked at some of the best kickoff returners in the playoffs. Percy Harvin has a touchdown. Devin Hester, Miles Austin, Dante Hall, Desmond Howard, and Ron Dixon has two. That's the most in the playoff. I bet you these guys who are advocating for the ball just to be placed on the 25 have to be defensive coaches, because now they know the offense has to go 75 yards to try to score a touchdown. You can change the identity of a game. If there is a minute left on the clock and there is a kick return that gets you past the 50 into opponent's territory, it just changes the game. I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it safe, but I don't agree with it. It's one of the more exciting plays in football. Do not get rid of it. Keep building these moments. Switch it off. Switch it to the XFL or old XFL kickoff.
The old XFL, you mean like the first iteration of
there's no longer XFL. Now it's the USFL.
Yeah, oh, true. You're right. Just the XFL.
Last year's XFL.
That's the thing to me is I'm like, it'll look kind of weird, but it's not gimmicky.
No.
It makes sense. It looks different, but it's not stupid. It still allows for seriously, like the thing we talked about it earlier this week, and we've talked about it a couple times, and you've been like, it takes out the idea of like gunners and those big hits, but there's strategy to it. It's not a joke.
No,
it's a great play.
It is.
Third down. Why can we put the thought of Jaden Daniels going number one to rest?
Real simple. Caleb Williams had his pro day and Keenan Allen showed up decked out in his Bears gear. The Bears would not allow Keenan to show up if they didn't think this was going to go down. So there's been rumors about Jaden Daniels slipping into that number one spot. And Jaden only had one good year. It was a great year. Accounted for over 40 touchdowns, I believe, 30 through the air, 10 on the ground. My man took a huge step from Arizona State to LSU. But you look at Caleb and what he's been able to do, he's going to be the number one pick. Keenan Allen showing up to support his dude in his Bears gear. It's more proof of that. It's real simple, folks. Keenan showed up. He's wearing his Bears gear.
Can I ask an extra question, like a fifth down before we get to fourth?
Yes.
Of the quarterbacks we're looking at, so Caleb.
Bless.
Thank you. Caleb, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and then I'll throw in JJ, Bo, Michael Penix. Whose career are you most curious about?
Michael Penix. Local, fair. Obviously, there's some ties here, but he has been not hated on, but it feels like he's the most hated quarterback in this draft, and he has some of the best numbers in this draft. And I really believe in him, man. I think whoever takes a chance on Michael Penix is not going to regret it. He's got an NFL arm. He's ready to go.
Yeah, I think I feel the most sure about Caleb Williams and curious about Drake May, but second sure about him. Jaden Daniels is someone where I'm like, he can be really explosive and dynamic and exciting, mm-hmm. or it could be a flyer someone takes. And if New England doesn't trade him, maybe they go number three,
right.
Trade their pick. like he could go number three overall and be someone that doesn't end up taking off in the pros.
Yeah, man, I lean on experience. A guy like Bo Nix has the most starts ever. Michael Penix, 2 years. You got Caleb doing his thing. JJ put together a good couple years. Jaden had a great season. He deserves all the love. But, you know, I look at the film and go with what I've seen the most.
Fourth down. What do you feel will ensure that the Seahawks offense will hit the ground running?
It's all about the big boys, the offensive linemen. I like how it's kind of taking shape. You bring over Nick Harris, who is a center. I believe he was from Cleveland. And then you have Olu, who could be your center. But you also, at number 16, I think they are going to go after Troy from UW if he is available. Mm-hmm. You go that route. It's all about the offensive line. I believe in Geno at the quarterback spot. I believe in the receivers. I believe in the running back. I understand the defense has a lot of work to do. But when's the last time that we've had consistency at that offensive line? It's been a while. I can't tell you when. So I'm looking at the offensive line, and I'm saying you have some pieces at the tackles that have been together for a while. Damian Lewis is with the Panthers. There has been some turnover there, but going into camp, solidified off top, man. Get the best five out there. Have them play as a cohesive unit. It's all about the big boys. The offense is going to have to lead the charge when it comes to the start of the season. Defense is working on some things. It'd be nice if the defense hits the ground running themselves and does a good job over there. But we got to go with what we've seen over the past couple of years, and that is the offense being able at times to put on the show. So it's all about the big boys. That offensive line, protect Geno, create those lanes. Big boys get it done.
I know jealousy doesn't look good on anyone, but I'm always envious of teams that have a pretty consistently good offensive line for several years in a row. I think of Philadelphia. I think of Cleveland as typically topping that list. Kansas City now in there as well, though their offensive line turnaround was heavily invested in, obviously, Creed Humphreys, and then some free agency and trades, like almost a refurbishment after their Super Bowl loss, so it was more recent. But it really is astounding how many years the Seahawks have gone without having consistency there. And at the same time, I try to give a little bit of grace because it is exceptionally difficult to build a great offensive line, have them stay healthy, have them develop that chemistry, have them all develop, and then have them stay with you. It's incredibly difficult to do.
It is, man. That is a unit that you can't be an individual on the offensive line. Receiver, you can be an individual. Running back, you can be an individual. But that offensive line, man, you got to move together, work together. So that's why I'm excited to see exactly what they do with that offensive line, with all the change that's happening, personnel and the new coaches coming in.
Yeah.
So, O-line, baby, it's all about them Hogs. Get it done.
You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Get your questions in for What I Need to Know. That's coming your way at 45 after. Text them to the Mac and Jacks text line, 866-979-3776. First, though, we're previewing Cougs against Drake with Cougs legend and four-time NBA champ Klay Thompson. He joins us next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Curtis was in here during the break talking about watching Arizona, and now he's got all the confidence in the world in his Bearcats. They are safe and secure.
Wildcats.
Oh, no!
Yes! Yes!
I did!
Hey, at least you didn't do it on the Pac-12 network.
Oh, solidarity! Wildcats. But Curtis joked, you know, hey, never in doubt. And then he said, it's so hard to watch these games when you actually have a rooting interest. How nervous are you tonight, Bump?
Right now, I'm fine. As soon as it gets close to tip off, then I get a bit nervous.
Yeah, I would also be nervous. I'm curious to see if our next guest here is going to be a little nervous. Cougs legend and four-time NBA champion Klay Thompson joins us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Klay, how's it going?
It's going good. Just enjoying my off day.
We appreciate you taking the time, man. We really do. We'll take just a couple minutes to talk about your Cougs because we just got to know. I mean, you're a legend. How proud are you as a Coug to see your school back in the tourney for the first time since 2008?
Man, it gives me chills, really. Thinking back to 2008, just following Derek and Kyle and David and Taylor Baines. I mean, that was such a legendary team. Make it all the way to Sweet 16. I remember that like it was yesterday. Then playing North Carolina, Notre Dame, and just a magical run. So to be back, it's so well earned. I'm so proud of these young men for just the performances they put on the whole season. And I was nervous last night. I was telling my friends like how excited I am for this opportunity for these guys, and it's just special for Cougar Nation, obviously.
First, I want to say go Cougs, Clay. I went to Wild. I left the spring of 2008, I believe, before you got there. So nice to have you on with us, man.
Okay.
Yeah, man. So nervous for the game. Stacy just asked me if I was nervous, and I said I'm good right now. Right before tip off, I get a bit nervous. Was there something you used to do before games to kind of calm yourself down, or you just stone cold killer? Go ahead and get them.
No, I mean, I think that's at every level. When you have butterflies in your stomach, I mean, you can relate to that. Any big game, it doesn't matter if it's high school, college, or pro. You can't get rid of those feelings. You just got to embrace them. And just enjoy the moment as much as you can. Just be completely engaged. That's what I would tell these young guys, is just to soak it all up. I saw them putting the patches on the jersey. I'm like, that's just a special opportunity right there. And I just know they're making everyone who is an alum so proud. And, yeah, there's no secret to the formula, though. You just got to be yourself and trust the process. That's what got you there.
What have you made of the job Kyle Smith has done this season?
Oh, man, Kyle's been incredible. We got to appreciate him while we can, because we know how in demand he will be after everything he's done for our program, which is unfortunate. But at the same time, just that's how the sports world is. And he's been awesome. I mean, he did an incredible job at San Francisco. Now what he's done for Wazoo has been nothing short of special. So I love what Kyle's done, his system, his style of play. It's beautiful.
Clay, as you know, the Palouse is a special place, especially when you got teams who are balling out there. You probably have answered this question 1,000 times, but I'll ask it again. What drew you to the Palouse, man? How did the Cougs snatch you up from Cali?
That's a good question. I mean, at the time, the basketball team was so good, and I took a visit there in the fall. And going to, obviously, a Cougar football game was really fun. See how much love those guys did receive from all the fans and the students, faculty, whoever. It was special. And I realized how cool that was to be able to impact the region. And I knew I was going to play right away as a freshman in the Pac-10. I couldn't pass that up because I grew up on the West Coast watching the Pac. And there's so many great basketball players from the conference that I thought if I could go play a lot as a freshman and, you know, play for a great coach in Tony Bennett, I could, you know, reach my dream. And I was making the NBA, and seeing, you know, Kyle get drafted helped so much. You know, I was like, I mean, this man was a one-star, two-star recruit, and then he became an NBA player. And I was, you know, looking forward to taking that similar route.
Why do you think that it feels weird asking, like, why do you hang on to school spirit? But I also think it's important because it's one thing for I've covered football players, and it's one thing for guys to be like, yeah, Roll Tide, and they hang on to really storied programs. Wazoo, some people kind of punch down sometimes. Like, there's this kind of a real pride that Cougs have. What's made you connect with that?
Oh, it's the underdog factor. I mean, we're always never considered a blue blood or a team that could win the whole thing, but we never give up. And the fight for Cougs has been there since, you know, sports were created. I mean, it's just that we feel underdog feeling like I can't switch up now. The Cougs bleed to me before anyone who ever did. So I'm not going to just leave them by the side because I was a Coug before I was an NBA champ or a gold medalist, before any record broken. I was a Coug, and I'll never forget those times of growing to be the man I am today, and that's because of my time on the Palouse.
Clay, one of the things I miss about playing are, like, the interactions with your teammates and with other players, and you seem to have a lot of dog in you, and you talk a little stuff, man. What's the most entertaining interaction you've had, whether it be in college or the NBA, just going back and forth with somebody?
I mean, I'm not the biggest talker. I'm no Draymond Green out there, but so much out there in my skin, I'm gonna defend myself and probably fire back. That's just the nature of sports. Your emotions are into it, and gosh, biggest back and forth. I can't even. I don't know. I mean, one time Kobe told me he was gonna run me over in a preseason game because I was playing probably too hard and might have like tripped him up or something. I'll never forget that. That was a Fresno State Arena, and I was kind of in shock, a little scared, because he looked really mad. I was like, geez, Kobe, it's not that serious, but that's the one that's most memorable for me, just because I grew up idolizing him, and, you know, when you get under the skin of your hero, you feel like you did something right, so that was a lot of fun back then. That was a preseason game, too, in Fresno. Jeez, that was in 2014? Man, time flies.
A lot of guys, so when I was at Wazoo, you know, we used to go to the Rec, and every basketball player, every football player thinks they can hoop, right? And we're playing too rough out there. And then I used to go out there with Kyle Weaver and Derek Lowe and those dudes. And every basketball player thought they could play football. So what sport, other than golf, we've seen you golf, what other sport do you think you can get down at?
I mean, I did play a little quarterback till high school. And then I retired back because I took a couple hits from the backside. So, golf was my thing. I mean, I'm not the best golfer, but I just love to do it on the side. And what else? I mean, what other sports? Baseball, decent at baseball. I just, arm started to hurt after like eighth grade. And I was like, getting my ADD would kick in the outfield. So basketball suited me best. But who actually was a really good basketball player on the football team was Brandon Gibson. He used to come hoop with us.
Yeah.
He would hold his own. He was, he was good.
He's one of the best athletes I've played with overall. BG's nice.
Yeah.
All right, last one. Again, Clay, you didn't have to join us. I just wanted everyone to know that. Clay, it's his day off. He did not have to join us, and you did in order to just kind of talk about the Cougs and your alma mater for a little bit. So our last question, what's your message to the team, your message to the Cougs and these guys ahead of their biggest game of the season?
I'll just tell them how proud we are of them, especially Cougar Nation. I mean, it's been a long time coming, and they did something I never did, which – I hope they realize how hard it is to gain an NCAA berth and just to enjoy this moment, and we're all behind them, and just to be as present as possible. Don't think about 2 days in advance and just think about the Drake Bulldogs, what you got to do to win the game, and just be selfless out there, play for your teammates and have fun, because we're all tuned in. It's going to be so much fun to watch.
He is Coug legend and four-time NBA champ, Klay Thompson. Thanks so much, Klay. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Klay. Go Cougs.
Of course. Nice talking to y'all. Yes, go Cougs.
All right. Again, thank you to Coug legend, four-time NBA champ, Klay Thompson, joining us. When you were talking about basketball or football players who think they could be basketball players, I had a flashback to when you and Cliff and Doug were all in here for that interview, and the interview went off the rails because the three of you started saying, if I was 4 or 5 inches taller.
Facts. Facts.
And you guys were dead serious.
Dead serious.
And this isn't, you're not even, you are serious now.
Yeah. Give me a few more inches. I've been in the league right now. I'd have 4 championships with Clay.
Of course. You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Get your questions in for What I Need to Know, 866-979-3776. That's next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Get your questions in for What I Need to Know. Any question, send it to the Mac and Jacks text line, 866-979-3776. What I Need to Know is brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Someone sent in, did you know that Clay is an open water swimmer? And then I Googled it, and he really does just, like, swim in the ocean.
No, thank you.
That's terrifying.
No,
and
thank
I
you.
Was a swimmer.
Mm-mm.
I don't trust water that has animals.
If I can't see the bottom, no. If it's not enclosed,
yes.
I ain't in it.
I'll swim in, I've swam in Lake Washington and Lake Union, though I don't think you're supposed to, like, really swim in Lake Union. And even then, I was afraid of, like, I don't know, what if a shark got in here? Which doesn't make sense. It's stupid. It's a dumb thought.
No, it's happened. There's some sharks that, was it bull sharks?
There's never been a shark.
That can convert to fresh water. Yeah, there's sharks who can do that.
What?
I mean, it's rare, but they do it.
All right, questions 866-979-3776. This one, I don't know how to answer this one. You two are married. Someone said, how do I write my wedding vows?
You don't. spit from the heart. You look her in her eyes. And you speak from the heart.
You didn't write your vows?
Nah.
You just freelanced
it. I said,
it.
Look, we doing this for life.
Yeah. Curtis, is he on the phone? Curtis is on the phone. Just kidding. Someone said, yeah, they swim up the Amazon. There are no sharks in Lake Union and Lake Washington.
I guarantee you there have been sharks.
Okay, people will be like, it's freshwater. They're not in there. You're saying, I am telling you at one point there may have been a shark that got in there.
Guaranteed.
I mean, I don't know how you couldn't weasel your way.
There's a way.
And where there's a will, there's a way. It makes me nervous to swim in open water like that.
Yeah, I don't trust it.
I don't know. Clay's braver than me. What I need to know, Bump, what's your confidence level? The Cougs win tonight.
Confidence level is out of 10, I'm at like a 7.5.
Okay, what isn't making you a 10?
Just the unknown. It's March Madness. You know how this thing goes. Somebody gets hot. Some kid who's a walk-on who just joined the team shoots lights out from three, and your season's over.
What I need to know, someone said use AI, use ChatGPT for your vows. Are you going to cancel some subscriptions after the show?
Should.
Probably not. I think I'd rather complain about things and not change them. Let's see what I need to know. We're getting lots of lifestyle questions. This is fun. Okay, 206. What was a romantic gesture you thought was nice but hasn't aged well?
Dang. I'm not a very romantic person.
I'm not. Well, I don't. I'm trying to think of, like, even what an answer would be to this.
Romantic gesture that did not age well. I don't know. Don't know.
I think it would be. This is a hypothetical. I don't have an answer for this one. Maybe someone who, like, bought a gift for someone that was accidentally offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. If someone has one, I don't know. What I need to know, Bump, you think the Lakers make the playoffs?
I think we make the play-in game. After that, I don't have much confidence in my squad this year.
Yeah. What I need to know from the 415, what's a sports game or moment, your own or otherwise, that you wish could get a do-over? For example, mine would be the Huskies at this year's Natty.
The fourth down play in Apple Cup this year. I wish I can go back and say, hey, guys, don't fall for it. Keep contained. Rome's going to get it. Yeah, I wish. Would have made my year.
I mean, the obvious answer is Super Bowl 49.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to think of, like, what if a do-over is just that they replay it?
The whole game?
Yeah, because I'm like, okay, if it's what sports moment do you wish you could flip and have the opposite outcome, yeah, Super Bowl 49, that'd be great. But if I can't control the outcome but just kind of pick a game for them to replay, then maybe I'm thinking more, like UW in the national title game.
Yeah, I would say.
Just give them another shot.
Maybe the Lakers win the Pistons beat us early 2000s.
Yeah. What I need to know, will Ohtani bet on the Wazoo game today?
No, but his interpreter will.
Oh, I think he's done betting. This is such a weird story, man. I think that we're going to see more stuff come out about it, and I don't know. The switching of the stories from Ohtani's camp, initially saying, yeah, it's to cover his debts, and then saying, like, oh, we have no idea what's happening. I wonder what happened in between. Like, what happened to make you switch the stories? Yeah. Was it, there's no way you just realized in that moment that it was illegal, right?
Somebody was like, no.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Someone said, if they play Super Bowl 49 again without Cliff getting hurt or Lane, we win that 9 out of 10 times. You think so?
I wouldn't say 9 out of 10 times. The Patriots were pretty good. But it does make a difference.
It does make a difference. But yeah, that was a good Pats team. What I need to know, did Bump cool off from the other team parents standing on his side of the soccer field?
I'll let you know this weekend because we got another game, big game. We'll see if they do. But, I'm okay now. I'm okay in the moment. I'm just annoyed. I'm just looking at him like,
I think that's fair.
Go to your side.
Yeah. Let's see. 867 says, would Pete Carroll be interested in being UW's AD?
Yesterday someone asked me if that was a possibility that they read it somewhere. I go, I have not seen that anywhere. But, no, I mean, what qualifies him to be an AD? He's never done it.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't just get to pick popular people. I understand why the question's being asked. I don't know that he would take it, nor do I think he'd be qualified, even though I like Pete Carroll a lot. 425 gave their example of a stupid gift for his wife. He said, stupid gift for my wife before. I gave her an empty box, and when she opened it, I blew air on her face and said, here is my love in the air. I thought it was romantic, but she was super mad.
That's all bad.
Someone said, oh, a romantic gesture that might not age well, a tattoo, and then you break up or get divorced.
My wife wants me to get her name on my body so bad. And I go, "That one, that's bad luck. I ain't going nowhere, but it's bad luck. I don't believe in that."
This is an interesting question. Do you think teams might have heard something about Ohtani and all of this during the offseason, and that's why they didn't go after him?
No. Because if other teams heard about it, you know the Dodgers heard about it, and they still gave him the richest contract in American history.
I think some teams just, it's a really interesting question, a good question. I think some teams took themselves out of the running because of sticker shock rather than because of that rumor. And I don't know how long ESPN's been working on this story. We know it predated when everything came out, but this might otherwise be newer information. So, I don't know. It's a really interesting question. I don't think so. And I also don't think he's going to get suspended. I don't think anything comes from this. But we'll see.
No, nothing's going to come of it. He's going to play. He's going to do his thing.
All right. That'll do it for us today. For Michael Bumpus, Curtis Rogers, Matt Nelson, I'm Stacey Ross. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming up next.